Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I hope you're blessed like I've been. It's amazing when you come to church and something just clicks, something that you've known for a long time. And that happened for me this morning in our new believers class, something that just clicked together. And as we were singing those songs about the Holy Spirit, gave me a whole new light on those songs. It's exciting to be here this morning. And I hope you have been learning about the Lord this morning. And some of those things that click, and it just makes you excited. It's like, man, it just gives you a whole new vision of who God is and what he's done for us. And so thankful for that this morning. I wish I could say my message this morning was that. Jane, you're okay. I told my wife this morning, my message is going to be probably a little shorter this morning because it's not that. It's a pretty specific passage, and it's pretty small passage, but it's too much for, not enough for one and too much. You know, I can't put two together. And she said, oh, no, it's going to be a long message. But anyway, it did grow as the days progressed here. But as I shared last time I was up here, it was a difficult message for me, talking about sexual immorality. To do that in a mixed group and to share the truth is difficult. And this is one of those messages where I would never pick this subject to preach about. This, it's just one of those things that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. And as I was studying this, I'm thinking, Lord, really, do we need to talk about this? Somebody needs it. The Lord put it here. And that's what I love about preaching through a book. Last time I got to preach a message that I was uncomfortable preaching. This time I get to preach a message that I would never probably pick to Pete to preach. But I think they're all important. And as I was studying this and thinking about this, it is important. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. We're looking at verses 1 through 5, and I've titled the message, Dangerous Promises. Dangerous Promises. And it's something that we know about, we hear about every once in a while. Usually we hear about it because it didn't go well. And so, and I guess as I was studying this, I understood why it doesn't go well. Because the Lord tells us not to do it. But anyway, let's go ahead and read Proverbs 6, 1 through 5. My son, if you have become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. I'm going to talk about today, just in temple terms, is basically signing for somebody else, guaranteeing a loan, or guaranteeing something for somebody else. And as I was thinking about this, is this really, really something that we need to talk about and to share about? It's pretty specific. It's financial. But I think it is important. There's lots of things that we can get from this. And a surety, I learned lots of new words today in this message. Some of these old words that in the English language that we don't use a lot, and I did some studying with Matthew Henry, and there's some words that he uses, and we'll come across some of those here a little later, but I really improved, I guess, my English language through this study, so there was that. But it was just a reminder again of something that I probably have known for quite a while in my life. But surety, what is a surety? My son, if you become surety for a friend, that's really what the message is going to be about. Is about that. So a surety is a guarantee involving a promise by one party to assume responsibility for the debt obligation of a borrower if that borrower defaults. So basically saying, you know what, somebody needs to borrow some money and they can't borrow it. I'll sign for them. We hear about that every once in a while. Usually it's a promise by a surety or a guarantor to pay one party a certain amount if a second party fails to meet some obligations, such as fulfilling the terms of a contract. And a friend, so my son, if you become a surety for a friend. See, this has been a little bit of it was interesting, maybe even a little difficult, because you talk about friends here. This is something that you should do for your friends, not? And as I worked through this, that was some of the things I had to think about. My son, if you become a surety for a friend, or basically if you sign that you will pay the debt for a friend. A friend has the idea of an associate, a brother, a companion, a friend, a husband, a neighbor, somebody that you know well. And signing for a debt, I guess I didn't realize this, I've known that it's a bad idea for a long time. So I've been learning lots this week, just so you know. Sometimes there's things that you know. I don't know if you ever have those aha moments. There's things that you've known, you've kind of been taught all your life, but you really don't have the scripture to go with it. And there's these aha moments. And this was one of those weeks where I've known this. Often, you know, it's highly discouraged to sign for somebody. And actually, it's more than highly discouraged. As we'll look at some more passages here about this. But signing for the debt of a friend is discouraged in the most dramatic way and in no uncertain terms. And it's something we shouldn't do, and if we've done it, we'll have to do almost anything we can to get out of it. It's basically what the text tells us today. But in four different places in Proverbs, it talks about this. And I didn't realize it was that big of a subject. But we read the one today. My son, if you become a surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared. You're in a trap. Proverbs 11:15 says, he who is a surety for a stranger will suffer. Doesn't say might, could be, but it says will suffer. But one who hates being surety is secure. Or as another version puts it, but one who hates such agreements is protected. And so this is pretty strong language. Proverbs 17:18 says, a man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Proverbs 22:26, do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge or one of those who is surety for a debt. And I found it interesting. I didn't realize there's that many adamant passages about doing this, not doing this. And our passage today is about being a snare. It's a snare. And what does a snare do? It traps you. It makes you a prisoner of someone else and often can lead to death. It's sometimes fun to study because a snare, I'm doing a little interesting study on what is a snare, watching some videos, and what is a snare and how does it work? I've never been a trapper. And so just to get a concept of how a snare works. But, you know, they're set up that they can't be seen. One guy puts this, snares are unique in that they catch only when the animal is completely unaware of their presence. So it's hanging right there. If the animal knows it's there, it goes around it. The only way it works is if you're completely unaware of its presence. And I had to think about that today. So is this why the Lord has me preaching this message? Is to make it aware, to make it so it's not unaware. Snares are set up that they can't be seen. They're hidden, disguised by their surroundings. It was fun to watch these videos about how these guys hide these snares. And sometimes you almost couldn't see them. They're hidden there. And I'm watching a video where he was trying to catch a rabbit, but the rabbit knew it was there. So he just went around it. He went underneath it. He went back and forth past the snare. He'd go underneath it. He'd go around it because he knew it was there. And if we know that the snare is there, we obviously would try not to get caught. So I think Solomon is being very clear here because this is something that on the surface I think can look like it's okay or maybe even a good thing. It's surrounded and disguised by good reasons and things that Christians should do. You know, shouldn't we help our friend if they're in trouble? I have the money, you're in trouble, I'm a Christian, we're both Christians, shouldn't we help each other out? And as I was studying this is a snare that's hidden among the things that we often think that we should do as a Christian. My friend will never leave me set. He'll never go back on his word. We have all these good reasons on why to do this. Shouldn't you help your friend if he's in trouble? Aren't Christians supposed to help each other? All these reasons, and as I was thinking this, but there's other ways to help those that are in trouble, and we're going to talk about those in a little later here. But so why is this so dangerous? As I was contemplating this, why is Solomon so blunt about this? Why is it so dangerous? Proverbs 11:15 says, he who is a surety for a stranger will suffer. I shared that earlier. And this says a stranger. This is a little bit different in that it says, he who is a surety for a stranger will suffer. Or he who signs a guarantee that says, I will pay if they don't pay. So I'd never do that for a stranger. I'd never say, meet a stranger on the street and go sign a debt for him. But you know, if you sign for a friend, there's a good chance that you don't know the person that he owes the money to. And you signed that, you just signed with a stranger. What are the consequences of signing for the debt of a friend or a family member? even though we have all these good reasons on maybe why we should do it. We think we do anyway. You end up having to owe the debt. You have to end up owing the debt and paying for it. That's a consequence. It ruins friendships. I've seen that happen over and over and over. Somebody, William Claxton, he puts it this way, lend your money and lose your friend. It's often how it works. I know of a man that has probably lost over $250,000 in these very scenarios. Lending money to family and friends, lending people are going to lose their house, and he helps them, and it ruins the friendship. He didn't do it all at once. And what was always the biggest thing that always surprised me was that I don't have to pay it back because you're rich enough, you don't need it back. What an answer. But lend your money and lose your friend. Somebody else said this. He said, borrow money from the bank. Seriously, you're very unlikely to have a super tense, passive-aggressive Thanksgiving meal with the bank. It's true. You're probably not going to have a tense Thanksgiving with the bank. He says this, in all seriousness, it's possible to lend or borrow money. And I think lending money to family can be very similar consequences to what we're talking about today. In all seriousness, it's possible to lend or borrow money from friends or family, but it's difficult, and more often than not, it puts an unnecessary strain on your most important relationships. And that is very true. So stick with the bank. He says, the bank doesn't care if you say nasty things behind its back. Probably does, and we shouldn't be doing that anyway. But so often we hear that, I hear that, where there's money been lent between friends and family, and it causes nasty disputes. But, you know, we want to do it because we help each other out. We like each other. We love each other. We care for each other. We want to help each other out. I think that's so often where this snare is hidden. Worst case scenario is if you stand credit for more than you can stand to lose, you lose your house and your ability to support your family. Another thing it does, it allows your friend to do things you shouldn't. And this is, we're going to talk about this later, but you become an enabler to help them do the things that they shouldn't be doing. It can often happen also when we do this. And you become a servant. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You are now the servant of the lender, and the person that did the lending is free. We just changed the transfer of who owes. And emotions can play so much on it. Another example that I have is a man got a phone call from a relative. I said, I'm sitting in jail. I wrote a bad check. I need $5,000. What about the money that you borrowed from me 2 years ago that you said you'd pay back within a week? That will not happen this time. I will pay you next week. I've got money coming. If you just send me the check for $5,000 so I can get out of jail to make good for this check that I wrote, I will pay you back. I guarantee it. That's been 20 years ago. I don't think that debt's been paid as far as I know. But it's a close family member. They're in jail. They're pleading. They're crying. it tugs on your heart. It makes you feel almost, and that's what was the hard about as I was studying this. It seems almost hard and harsh. But yet, for the sake of that person, I don't think it is. For the sake of your relationship, for the sake of your friendship, I don't think it is. And for their wellness, often these type of people need help. And often it's not good for family and friends to be that help. Anyway, we're going to get to that. So escape. Verse 3 says escape. So do this, my son. So if you're in this case, if this has happened to you, if you signed for somebody, so do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver, and then verse 5, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. And I think Matthew Henry puts this well. I'm just going to read an excerpt from him here. And this is, like I said, he uses these and thous, and I've changed those a little bit, but there's some words in here that I'll try to define. And maybe you know these words, and it's great if you do. If we have been drawn into this snare, it will be our wisdom by all means, with all speed, to get out of it. It sleeps for the present, and this is talking about after we've signed it, you know, it's the beginning. It sleeps for the present, we hear nothing of it. The debt is not demanded. The person owing the money says, never fear, we'll take care of it. But still the bond is in force. Interest is running on. The creditor may come upon you when he will, and perhaps may be hasty and severe. The person owing may prove either knavish. How many of you know those words? Know that word, knavish? I had to look that up. Knavish. That's how you pronounce it. Actually, you had to look how to pronounce it. Knavish. It means dishonest. Didn't know that. But anyway, found a new English word. I'll have to use it sometime in a sentence. To prove either knavish or dishonest or insolvent. And that's the other thing that happens. There's so many times. There's things that happen in life. I think almost never, ever does an agreement like this get signed that the person is planning to defraud you. But it happens. Life happens. Things can happen. Accidents can happen that they're no longer, but they become insolvent. And then you must rob your wife and your children and ruin your family to pay what you get nothing for. And therefore, deliver yourself. Rest not till either the creditor gives up the bond or the principal gives you the counter security. When you are come into the hand of your friend and he has an advantage against you, it is not time to threaten or give ill language that will promote and make ill, but humble yourself. Beg and pray to be discharged. Go down on your knees to him and give him all the fair words you can. And I found it interesting. Solomon puts it in here too, and Matthew Henry puts it well. Go humble yourself, plead with her. It doesn't say go act like a non-Christian. It doesn't say go act like a jerk to get out of this. But we still behave like a Christian, but we do everything we can to get out of it. It says, engage your friends to speak for you. Leave no stone unturned till you have agreed with your adversary and compromise the matter, so that your bond may not come against you or thine. This is a care which may well break your sleep, and let it do so till you get through. Give no sleep to your eyes till you have delivered yourself. Strive and struggle to the utmost, and hasten with all speed, as a deer or a bird delivers herself out of this snare of the fowler or the hunter. Delays are dangerous, and feeble efforts will not serve. See what care God in his word has taken to make men good husbands of their estates and to teach them prudence in the manage of them. Are we doing that? And then 5, deliver yourself in the gazelle, like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. And I thought, and as I was studying this and the words, the word picture that he gives for this is get out of it any way you can. I think of a video of a gazelle getting away from a lion. What does it do? It runs like mad. It dodges. It jumps. It does all kinds of things. Zigzags. It does everything in its power to get away from the hunter. And as I was studying this and looking at this and looking at the word picture that's being created here, this is something that we do not want to be involved in. And a bird flapping and ducking and dodging to get away from the hunter. Because what's the hunter's goal? It's to kill him, right? That's the goal. So as I was thinking about this, so what are some things that we can do? What is the best practice against this, or to not fall into this trap? And it's to be wise. That's what we read the Proverbs for. That's what we read God's word for. That's what we have the Holy Spirit for, is to be wise. Wisdom, again, is the instruction in how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. And that's what Solomon is doing here. In this case, he gives us the circumstance, and he gives us the consequences. And we just have to listen. It's pretty plain and pretty blunt in these passages. In this case, wisdom reveals it pretty clearly. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Sure doesn't mince any words there. He who is a surety for a stranger will suffer. Doesn't really make it easy for us to get out of this. Proverbs 22:26. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from you under you? Make sure that we don't, we shouldn't. But if we do, make sure that you can pay the debt if it comes due. Should never, probably if we ever would do this, and we're going to talk about the small opportunities to doing this, is make sure that just plan on paying the debt. And if you can't pay the debt, then don't do it. It's just that simple. Should any man, if thou hast nothing to pay, you can't give security for more than you're worth. Somebody said this, the creditor will not pursue the debtor, whom he knows to be worth nothing. So don't think he's going to go after the guy that you signed for. He knows he has nothing. But he will sue, or he'll come after the person that is the guarantor. And why should you put yourself into such circumstances as to expose yourself to the loss even of your bed? That's what Ben Franklin's not a Christian in any man, but some people still have some wisdom. He said, creditors have better memories than debtors. It's true. Creditors have better memories than debtors. It's amazing how often people just seem to forget their debts. Happens so often. And I have a family that has some people that manages money well and some that don't. And so I get to see both sides of the story on some of these. So what are some of the things that we can do? So don't sign. First of all, first thing is don't sign for someone else's debt. That's most simple. That's following the instructions of the Lord here. The other thing is to manage your finances well. Proverbs 27:23-24 says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. You know, we can talk about not signing for someone, but we need to be wise enough to know that if we aren't diligent and we aren't careful on how we handle our finances, our material things, we could be the ones asking somebody else to sign for us. You know, we can look down on somebody else, but we have to be careful that we don't put ourselves in the position where we have to ask. Don't get yourself in a situation where you have to be that friend that asks for someone to sign for you. So often, 1 Corinthians 10:12 often hits me on some of these things. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We should never, ever in any situation think that we're too good or we know too much or we're too smart to fall into that trap. Because life happens. Life happens. You know, our places can burn down. We can have an accident that disables us. There's all kinds of things that can happen. And then we depend on the Lord to help us through those times. But manage your finances well. Another saying that I came across is this. Interest on debt grows without rain. Grows without rain. The idea behind that is crops and trees, flowers, grass, all organic plant life needs the right conditions to grow and thrive. Debt, on the other hand, can grow in a vacuum. So just remember that it doesn't matter what happens to the house you buy, or the degree you finance, or the new business you invest in, the interest on your debt will accumulate no matter what. Interest on debt grows without rain. Manage your finances well. And here's the other one. Give rather than sign for someone. Give. If a friend or a family member is in need, a better option than signing for them often is to give. Give not expecting it back. And you don't have to tell them that necessarily. But if you're not willing to let the money go without a fight or without a complaint, don't give it. That's so often what happens. Is there's a fight, or if there's not a fight, there's complaining and there's words spoken behind their back. Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor leads to the Lord, lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You know, if it's a situation of poor money management, we don't want to sign for them anyway. And we probably shouldn't be giving them money. We should be asking them to get help. And they need to get help. And if they need to get help with their money management, it probably shouldn't be a friend or family that is doing that. Signing for or giving money in a situation of poor money management is not helping that person at all. It only enables them to keep spending money they don't have. But an option is to give, to share. I think that's so often, if it's really a hardship case, we're better off giving to that person than we are signing to sign for that person. And it doesn't mean that we have to do it all. We can get help. If it's a true hardship case, it's where the church can step in and help. So there's options other than signing for a person, which is a very dangerous thing. In closing, we must look upon suretyship as a snare and decline it accordingly. We must understand that it's a trap. And again, I'm going to read a statement from Matthew Henry that I think explains some of this well, better than I could. We are not to think that it is unlawful in any case to become surety or bail for another. It may be a piece of justice or charity. He that has friends may see cause in this instance to show himself friendly. And it may be no piece of imprudence. So it might be okay. There's situations where it could be possibly okay. Paul became bond for Onesimus. Philemon 1:18, Paul said in his letter, he said, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. So Paul put himself there for Onesimus. There was a reason he did that. He said, I'll take it. Made himself a surety for that. We may help a young man into business that we may know to be honest and diligent and gain him credit by passing our word for him and so do him a great kindness without any detriment to ourselves. But, if it is every man's wisdom to keep out of debt as much as may be, for it is an encumbrance upon him, entangles him in the world, puts him in danger of doing wrong or suffering wrong. The borrower is servant to the lender and makes himself very much a slave to this world. Christians, therefore, who are bought with a price should not thus, without need, make themselves the servant of men. We still need to do. And as I was studying for this, this reminded me again, we are so been sold on the idea that debt is an okay thing. We've been sold that by the banks, by the world, because it lets us get what we want now. We've been sold that up and down. And as I was studying for this, just again, all the passages that we have that the Lord warns us, God warns us, stay out of debt. Stay out of debt. 2, it is great folly to entangle ourselves with necessitous people. There's another word I didn't know. But it's needy people. And to become bound for their debts that are ever and always taking up money. And as we say, out of one hole, jumping from one hole into another. A man ought never to be bound for a surety for more than he is both able and willing to pay and can afford to pay without wronging his family in case the principal fail. For he ought to look upon it as his own debt. If you do this, it is your debt. If you do this, it is your obligation to pay. We have to keep our word. So this is something that is very clearly warned about, and it's not something we should do without much thought, and I believe lots of godly advice from godly men. Not something we should do on our own. Paul, in his case, as I was thinking about that, well, so Paul did this. When he was giving surety for Onesimus, I don't think Onesimus asked him to do it. It makes it a little different. And I don't think Paul was expecting him to pay him back. It was more of a gift than it was being signing for a debt that Onesimus owed. It was a gift from Paul. And never, ever, ever should it be done if we can't afford to do it. If we cannot afford to pay the debt, if it comes due, we shouldn't even come close to it with a 10-foot pole. I don't think we should come close to it anyway without lots of godly advice and looking at it with more than just our own eyes. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning for wisdom. Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for your warnings. Lord, this snare that you have shared with us and told us about, Lord, that can be so easily hidden among our Christian duties and our friends, Lord, our feelings can get involved so much, Lord, that can help us make unwise decisions. Lord, I thank you for this passage, Lord, that you give us to warn us about unwise decisions. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom as we go each day. Pray that we can listen to the Holy Spirit as he prompts us, Lord, to do the things, to follow your commands. Lord, I pray that we can be a shining light for you to those that are around us. Lord, I pray that we can be a testimony for your love and your mercy and your goodness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.